Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
We'll start where everybody's talking about. And really, when you're a team that hasn't reached the playoffs in the last seven seasons, when you're a team that is quote-unquote celebrating the anniversary, the 50th anniversary of its one and only, not only Super Bowl win, but Super Bowl appearance, the main thing you have, if you are such a team, is hope. And the Jets, faithful, as strong as they are, got a lot of hope back in April when the Jets were able to draft the guy at number three, who I think most Jet fans and most Jet executives would have drafted at number one, as things worked out with Sam Darnold falling to the third spot in the NFL draft. There was more hope in minicamp and OTAs and the rookie camp when Darnold continued to show progress and show some potential and continue to say all the right things. And then last night in the preseason opener, in the second quarter, was the greatest sign of hope yet.
8:41 to go in the second quarter. And a big cheer a moment ago here at MetLife Stadium is trotting on the field for the first time in the preseason. The third overall pick in the draft, the rookie from USC, Sam Darnold. He is in the huddle, and who knows, this might be his game the rest of the way. You'd have to think it is.
Well, first of all, it's very good to hear the voice of Bob Wischus and the voice of the New York Jets again. Football indeed back right here on 98.7 ESPN New York last night. And Sam Darnold did not disappoint after entering the game. And I've heard a lot of the calls throughout the morning, and I've read a lot of the columns on the game last night, and there are two ways of looking at it. There's the way that a lot of fans are looking at it, maybe getting a little too excited, maybe overblowing this a little bit. And then there's that other group of people that are trying to throw a bunch of cold water on what we saw last night at MetLife Stadium. It's one preseason game. He was playing against second and third stringers. To those people, I say, who cares? Who cares? Because last night, all the Jets fans wanted to see from their rookie number three overall draft pick was exactly what he showed them during his time on the field, his first time on the field in an NFL game. And Sam Darnold showed all of us last night that all of the hope that people have had about his presence on this team, for now anyway, has not been unfounded. He looked comfortable. He looked calm. He was in charge. Everything you heard about Darnold leading up to the draft, after the draft, all of the things you heard about Sam Darnold that made him such a highly sought after commodity, it's everything you want in a quarterback, and he was all of those things last night. And again, I realize it was the first preseason game and he wasn't playing against first stringers, but this is the first sample size that we've seen of him. This was his first test in an NFL uniform, and guess what? He passed. And he passed with flying colors. Now, will there be mistakes? Yes. Is Darnold going to be a Pro Bowler this year and lead the Jets on a long playoff run? Probably not. But what he showed last night is that there is absolutely reason for hope. The numbers, excellent. 13 out of 18, very high completion percentage, just under 100 yards, 96 yards, and that touchdown pass. And boy, that touchdown pass. And that whole sequence, okay, that whole sequence in the end of the second quarter that led to his touchdown pass, if you dissect that and watch those three plays, including the third one, which was the touchdown pass to Charles Johnson, that showed you what this guy is capable of. Because they have the ball inside the four-yard line, and he throws the ball a little high. Johnson should have caught it, and NFL wide receivers got to make that catch. It was not a perfect throw. It wasn't a very good throw, but Johnson still should have caught the ball. Okay? Was Darnold rattled? No. Back to the huddle. Similar play. Next play, he completes the ball to Johnson in the end zone. The kid's running off the field, thinks he's got his first NFL touchdown pass. He's all excited, but wait a minute. The flag is thrown. Offensive pass interference. So now we've had two attempts from inside the five-yard line, going to the same guy, in fact, and you've come up empty both times. Is the kid rattled? No. Back to the huddle from the 14-yard line. rolls out of the pocket, on the run. I mean, these three plays had everything you want in your rookie franchise quarterback. Rolling right, and the defense was giving him the scramble. They were giving him the scramble, and how many times have you seen a young quarterback with all of that field in front of him say, oh, look at all this room, I can make it. There was no way he was going to make it. He was smart enough and patient enough to hold up behind the line of scrimmage, let the play develop, and he found that man again for the third time, Charles Johnson, this time 14-yard touchdown, the first in his NFL career. And I don't care who you're playing against, second stringers, third stringers, guys that aren't going to be in the NFL this season, guys that are going to be backups this season, that was a veteran move right there. That was a veteran move, not taking the yards that were given to him if he wanted to scramble. In fact, I've seen a lot of veterans make that mistake. But here's this 21-year-old kid who just had his first NFL touchdown called back with the presence of mind to make that play, to be patient, to let the play develop and not scramble for an 8-yard gain and have his team go and kick a field goal attempt. And that was impressive. How many times over the years have we seen the Jets get down to the 4-yard line and come away with 3 points or come away with no points? And did it have that feel? If you look at it just from the Jets fans' perspective, it had that feel. Here we are, we're on the 4-yard line. Ah, we missed our wide open receiver. That was our one and only shot. Well, why does it have to be our one and only shot? Mistakes are made. Darnold didn't make a great throw, and Johnson didn't catch a ball that he probably should have caught. It wasn't your one and only shot. You go back to the huddle and you take another shot. And the next shot was completed in the end zone. Ugh, pass interference. We lost our other shot. There's no way we're going to get a third shot at this. You did. Another mistake was made by the receiver, and Darnold picked up his guy. But how many times would we have seen that same scenario last year, the year before, the year before, and the Jets are settling for a 22-yard field goal attempt? Or even worse, they go for it and don't come away with points, although Todd Bowles probably wouldn't have gone for it, at least in a regular season game. The whole thing was just impressive. And what Sam Darnold, here's the takeaway from last night. Sam Darnold is not out of the running to be the starting quarterback in week one. Not only did he not hurt his chances to be the starting quarterback in week one, he helped his chances. The main thing you needed to see from Sam Darnold last night is that he belongs on an NFL field. Does anybody think otherwise based on what they saw last night? I'm not asking about conjectures. I'm not asking about what you may have seen in practice. The only time he's ever been on an NFL field was last night at MetLife Stadium. Based on what we all saw, is there any reason to believe that this kid is afraid to be on an NFL field or incapable of being on an NFL field right now? And the answer is no. Now, that could change. The defenses in preseason become more sophisticated. At some point in week two or week three of preseason, he's going to be playing against first stringers, and that might change. But right now, if you look at the first 2 weeks of training camp through the first preseason game last night, is there any reason to believe that based on what you've seen from him on TV last night, or if you were at the game, that he can't be the starting quarterback week number one? The answer is no. And it's interesting. Look at the Jets quarterback situation now compared to last year. Last year, it was such a joke. They had four quarterbacks on their roster. I mean, who has four quarterbacks on their roster? You know, they had McCown, of course. And then they had Hackenberg. And then they had Bryce Petty. I can't think of the fourth one. Who was the fourth one that they had? Anthony. They had four quarterbacks. But the point is, they didn't have any quarterbacks. I mean, it was such... There was no reason for hope. Basically, nobody on that roster gave you any reason whatsoever for hope. I'm thinking 2 years ago when Geno Smith was on the team, too. Sorry about that. Now they have three quarterbacks, and they're all pretty good. I mean, they're all pretty good. Josh McCown, we know what he is. He had his best season in a long, distinguished as a backup career in the NFL last year. He's the perfect backup. And then Teddy Bridgewater, and how impressive was he? And the only reason we're not talking about how impressive he was last night is because Sam Darnold's the story. But in any other scenario, what Teddy Bridgewater did last night was extremely impressive. The guy hadn't played for an extended period of time in 2 years. Here was a guy 2 years ago before he suffered a catastrophic knee injury that was on the verge of becoming a really solid NFL quarterback with the Vikings. He was a Pro Bowler, which doesn't always mean you're one of the best because guys drop out of the Pro Bowl because of injury and they don't want to play. But he was a Pro Bowler. He was on the verge of becoming a top 15, top 12 starting quarterback in the NFL before that devastating knee injury. And it took him 2 full years to get back on the field to play extended time as he did last night. I know he played a little bit in mop-up duty at the end of last regular season for the Vikings, but that was mop-up duty. This was an actual game situation, full speed, the whole thing. And he looked good. He looked real good. 7 out of 8, 85 yards and a touchdown. I mean, he looked very good. So now all of a sudden that Jets quarterback room looks pretty good. There's a lot of reason for hope. But if everything stands as is right now, if McCown, and we didn't see much of him, but we know what McCown is. So you have McCown, and if he plays the way he plays, if Teddy Bridgewater plays the way he played last night, and if Sam Darnold plays the way he played last night, and look, there's 3 more preseason games to go. But if all of those things continue to be the case, then in my opinion, Sam Darnold's your starting quarterback week one. Why not? Why not? It would be wonderful to make the playoffs this year, and I've said this time and again on this air. It would be wonderful if you're the Jets to make the playoffs this year, put an end to that 7-year drought. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to squeak into the playoffs at 9-7 like the Buffalo Bills did last year and then take 2 steps back the following year. More importantly, to build this foundation for the future. And the foundation for the future includes number 14 as your starting quarterback. And so far, so good. Sam Darnold passed his first test last night at MetLife Stadium.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
The Jets have had so many quarterbacks through the years, it is very hard to keep track. But my point now is they don't have 4 quarterbacks. They've got 3 quarterbacks in the room right now, and every single one of them seems to be able to serve a purpose on this roster. McCown is invaluable for his leadership. The guy, if he wants to be, and you think that he does, he's probably going to be an NFL coach someday. Teddy Bridgewater, definitely a guy worth taking a chance on for $500,000 or whatever they're paying him this year. And what we saw last night was very impressive. And then you have the guy, or the guy you're trying to make the guy, and that is Sam Darnold. And we talked about how impressive that first touchdown pass was. Let's listen to how it sounded here last night on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Third down and goal, all the way back to the 14-yard line. Darnold out of the shotgun, drops the throw. Steps up in the pocket, scrambles right, throws at the front right pylon. It's caught. Dancing inside the end zone is Charles Johnson, and he's got a Jet touchdown. The toe tap by Johnson snuck inside the front right pylon. And Sam Darnold does indeed have his first preseason touchdown pass as the quarterback of the New York Jets.
Third time was the charm. If at first you don't succeed, try again, and then try one more time. 3 attempts to Charles Johnson. The third one goes for 6, and that was Sam Darnold's first ever touchdown pass as an NFL quarterback, at least in the preseason. After the game, Sam Darnold, speaking with Bob Wischusen, was asked, how'd the first game feel?
Felt great, man. It felt good to finally play football again. You know, we've been playing for a few weeks now, but finally good to, you know, hit someone else and actually be hit as quarterback. So
no red jersey anymore.
No red jersey. So it was awesome to be able to get back there and you know, I got hit once, but I let the ball go. And it was just awesome to be able to feel, you know, kind of that rush of playing football again and also in front of the fans, which it was amazing.
How about the head coach, Todd Bowles, who, by the way, looks fantastic. You've seen the stories about how he's kind of reformed his body and lost a ton of weight. He looked great on the sidelines last night, so good for the head coach of the Jets. But what about Darnold gets Todd Bowles excited?
Poise, again, the poise in the pocket. Obviously, the touchdown throw and scramble, very good use of his feet and accuracy. But he does that in practice all the time, so I can't say it impressed me because we saw it every day. Just him handling game-to-game situations, but there's things he can get better at, too, but it's a good start for him.
A very good start. It was a very good start. The last thing you wanted to see was Sam Darnold run onto that field last night and have any thought that he doesn't belong, and I don't think anybody had that kind of thought after watching him perform last night. All right, it's Pat O'Keefe. It is the Dave Rothenberg Show. Pat O'Keefe in for Dave this morning, 1-800-919-3776. Let's head to the phones, and we start with Robert in New Jersey. Good morning, Robert.
Hey, Pat, good morning. I hope you're drying off over there, buddy.
Still a little damp, but we're working on it. Thanks, Robert.
Good on, man. Hey, all right, so look, season ticket holder, I was at the game last night. I tell you, the crowd was really energized when Sam ran onto the field. You know, the one thing about that play that you're talking about on 3rd and 14, you know, Dan Quinn called an all-out blitz on him. And all that kid did was watch this pocket fall, and he stepped up, bought himself a ton of time to find Charles Johnson. It was just very refreshing to see. But you know, Pat, there's one thing that I want to touch on here that I know a lot of cold water is being thrown is the defense, the other side of the ball. I watched these guys last night, whether it was first string, second string, third string, deep on the depth chart. Pat, they were flying to the ball. The energy was through the roof. Whatever Jamal Adams made a statement earlier in the week calling out the veterans and not stepping up last year. I'm not going to get into who it was because everybody can figure that out. But let me tell you, he sparked something, and that defense was flying to the ball. Whoever the ball was, you saw four or five defenders around. That first handoff, when it went to, I believe it was Coleman on the Atlanta Falcons, Nathan Shepard was running at 315-plus. My man was tracking that ball down. Every time that ball was handed off, Nathan Shepard was there. It was very refreshing, Pat, is what I'm trying to say. And what I saw out of Sam Darnold was poise, accuracy, and I saw some leadership with him in that huddle. I don't know, Pat. I just want to say this. I was at the first VIP practice when Sam wasn't there, and then I was at the first padded practice when Sam got there on Wednesday. And I watched him with his rollout. I watched him command. Pat, it's a breath of fresh air. And I had a chance to talk with Christopher Johnson for like 25 minutes. He is all about rebuilding this team. The heart and soul of talking to him, let me tell you something. I am very excited for this year, Pat. Dry off, have a wonderful day, and I'll take your comments off the air. Thank you, buddy.
All right, Robert, thanks for the call, and a good first call there. A couple of things on that. First, regarding Darnold, and Robert is absolutely right. He avoided the blitz, and one of the things that you like that you see from Sam Darnold is, yes, he's a big guy, he's a big body, but he's mobile, he can get out of trouble, and he can throw on the run. What NFL quarterback that we have seen perform for the last 10 to 15 years does that remind you of? That description reminds you of? It sounds a little bit like Ben Roethlisberger. Now, I'm not throwing that comparison out right there. Darnold has a long way to go. But one of the things that has made Roethlisberger so successful is that he's able to combine a big frame so he can shrug defenders off when they're nipping at his heels, and mobility. Now, does it always look pretty with Roethlisberger? No. It doesn't have to. But you see a little bit of that in Sam Darnold's game. And secondly, Robert did bring up the defense, and it was a good point. Everybody's, look, Sam Darnold is the headline. He plays the most prominent position. He's the most prominent player on the team, and he should be the headline, and he's going to continue to be the headline. But let's not overlook what the defense did. One first down allowed in the first half, and I understand they weren't playing against the Falcons' best, but one first down allowed in the first half. They look terrific. And I will say this. I've said this time and time again. The Jets' priority this year has to be to develop Sam Darnold over making the playoffs. Now, if they can do both, wouldn't that be fantastic? If you can develop Sam Darnold this year and somehow make the playoffs, that would be the best case scenario, I think. And if this team is going to make the playoffs, it's going to be because of its defense. It's going to absolutely be because of its defense. They've got a lot of guys there that were picked on potential and that were picked on talent. And at some point in the NFL, those things come to fruition. We saw signs last year that guy, nobody comes into this, not every, excuse me, I shouldn't say nobody. Not everybody comes into this league and has an immediate impact like Joey Bosa did with the Chargers a couple of years ago after his holdout ended. His first game, it seemed like he had been in the NFL on the defensive line rushing quarterbacks for 5 years. Most people don't do that. Jamal Adams had a pretty good impact for his first year last year. But Darren Lee took him a while to get started. Leonard Williams took him a while to get started. But you've got some high draft picks, and they were high draft picks for a reason, on this defense. And you've got a guy there in Jamal Adams who's a leader. If he's not the leader in the locker room already on the defensive side of the ball, he will be the leader in very short time. Not only because of what he does on the field, but he just has that sort of personality. He wants to be known as the leader on this team. He's not afraid, even as a second-year player in the NFL, to stand up and take that leadership role, and not everybody wants to do that. And if you have a guy in your locker room that's willing to do that and is good at it, that takes a lot of pressure off of everybody else. And then add into that on the field that he seems to be a terrific player, and I think you really have something there.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
We're focusing, of course, mostly on Sam Darnold, but all of the quarterbacks look sharp. Even Josh McCown. He played one series and completed the only pass that he threw. And here's Todd Bowles after the game. What did he see from his quarterbacks?
That was good. They didn't turn the ball over, number one. They had a good flow of the offense, and you know, they did exactly what they practiced, and they executed everything fine. So I was pleased with both of them.
And after McCown left after that first series, it was Teddy Bridgewater's turn. He was 7 out of 8 and drove the Jets down the field for their first touchdown drive of the preseason. 2 years to get back to this point, playing extended time in a football game for Teddy Bridgewater, the former number one or first round draft pick out of Louisville of the Minnesota Vikings. So how did it feel to get back out there on the field?
Definitely a great feeling. Just being out there with the guys. The greatest feeling is coming away with the victory. Seeing all your hard work and training camp paying off, that's the best feeling. But it was a great feeling for me personally being back out there. I had a couple years off. Seeing live action, felt good getting hit again, even though you never want the quarterback to get hit, but it wasn't a sack or anything, but just felt good being out there, and I'm excited.
It's part of the game, of course, getting hit. So how did the knee feel?
Great feeling, seeing it on display, seeing all your hard work show for itself out there on the field, from having to learn the different movements all over again and applying them on the football field. It's a great feeling. I was excited with some of the movements that I was able to perform today, and you know, I look forward to just continuing to getting better.
All right, so there's Teddy Bridgewater. Everybody in that quarterback room has reason to be excited today. Good feelings after last night's preseason opener. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go back to the phones and bring in Henry in the Bronx. Hey, Henry.
Hey, what's going on, pal? How's everything?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Listen, man, so I just wanted to say, you know, I know it's only one game, and, you know, people always say, oh, you can't really follow one game. But listen, man, there was a play where the pocket was collapsing, and I just literally saw Sam. It's like Sam Darnold had eyes in the back of his head. And it's funny, you mentioned the comparison to Ben Roethlisberger, and Ben Roethlisberger does it all the time. He literally tucked his shoulder in, like, just on time. And I was kind of amazed by that. So, I was telling your producer, you know, you can't teach pocket awareness in the NFL. You really can't.
That's why guys like Sam Darnold, Henry, are drafted third overall, and that's why other guys and the majority of guys are just average at best NFL quarterbacks. This guy seems to have something that people have seen.
Exactly, and that's really the big thing, because, you know, especially a 21-year-old kid, you know, he literally just turned 21, so, you know, for him to be that ready is pretty impressive. That's all I really wanted to say. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks for the call, Henry. Yeah, you don't want to overblow it, but why not get excited about this? First of all, what's wrong with getting excited about what you saw last night? It's all we've seen. Okay, there was not much downside to last night. So what, he didn't complete all 18 of his passes? He was only 13 out of 18? I know he wasn't doing this against the Falcons defense, their number one defense that's going to suit up in week one of the NFL regular season. Who cares? This is all we've seen last night. And it was a really good first impression from Sam Darnold. And there's several different aspects of this. There's obviously the performance on the field, and he's not going to make all the throws. Nobody makes all the throws, but he can make the throws. The presence in the pocket, the decision-making on the fly, these are all things that we saw last night. And then you go off the field. Really, the only slip-up that this guy's had since being drafted has been missing the first 3.5 days of training camp as he haggled over his contract. But you know what? That's over with. That's in the past. And I was laughing. The last time I was here hosting a Saturday morning show was 2 weeks ago today. And what a huge difference 2 weeks makes, because 2 weeks ago today, it was the day after the Jets' first training camp practice. So Darnold had just missed his first practice and was still unsigned. And that was the news of the day. He's missing valuable time. He's going to have to catch up. He's caught up. I don't know, based on what I saw last night, that those 3.5 days that he missed makes a lasting impact negatively for Sam Darnold. So he's caught up. That's the only misstep he's had so far. So we can pretty much just put that aside, and that doesn't even need to be discussed anymore. Now, if he was mediocre at best last night, if he was struggling last night, if he was struggling to get the calls in, well, then you could say, hey, this guy missed half a week of practice. But we didn't see any of that on display. So he's good now. So it's clean slate. Let's move forward with Sam Darnold because he looks good. Here's Nolan Elmont. Hey, Nolan.
Hey, good morning, Pat. How are you?
Good. How you doing today?
Great, man. Listen, you know, longtime Jets fan, grew up in Elmont, New York, played Division I football at Northeastern University, been a, you know, practice at the Hofstra Stadium at the All-Star Games, and, you know, I've been a Jets fan my whole life, and I have never felt so good. This is the scenario right here. We have Bridgewater, who we can get value for. You know, if he keeps developing, we can trade him in a couple of years or, you know, next year and get tremendous value for him. Or he can stay on, okay, as a backup and Darnold take fourth and then McCown, he can, you know, go ahead and retire. But, I mean, the defense looked great. We have a shutdown corner in Tremaine. I mean, we look great out there yesterday. I'm so excited. Even if we win 9 games this year and we don't make the playoffs, or we do make the playoffs and we get set up for next year, we have all that money to spend, it's a good situation. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, Noel. 9 games would be fantastic for this team. A 4-win improvement for any team is unbelievable in the NFL, even the Cleveland Browns, who won 1 game. That would be fantastic. But the thing to keep in mind is making the playoffs would be great. More important that when you start the 2019 NFL season, Sam Darnold has nearly a year of experience under his belt. He's confident. He's comfortable. He's the leader of your team, and he's ready to hit the ground running. Now, the Teddy Bridgewater situation is interesting because I do think that the best case scenario to me here throughout the preseason is that they all play well, right? The best case scenario is they all play well. And McCown's not going to play that much because they're going to want to see a lot of Darnold and they're going to want to see a lot of Teddy Bridgewater. McCown's 39 years old and you know what he is. If McCown gives you what he gave you last year, you would sign for that. So he's not going to be out there a lot during the preseason. He wasn't out there a lot during the preseason last year as they were trying to get a look at Hackenberg and Petty. But the best case scenario is that they all play well. So what happens? What happens if they all play well? Well, if they all play well, Sam Darnold's got to be your starting quarterback week one in Detroit. Why not? And then Josh McCown, in my opinion, is more suited to be the veteran backup than Teddy Bridgewater for a couple of reasons. McCown's done it his entire career. He's maybe one of the best backup quarterbacks in NFL history. You can probably make the case. Not because he's better than other guys that have been a backup, but he knows how to do it. And just the way that he approaches the job and the professionalism that he brings and the leadership that he provides as a backup quarterback really is invaluable. And then what do you do with Teddy Bridgewater? Well, Noel, our last caller, just said it. Teddy Bridgewater could be a very enticing trade chip. The Jets were the team that took a flyer on him. I think it was $500,000, which in the NFL is not a lot of money. And they didn't have to give anything up. They signed him as a free agent. So now if you can turn that around by the end of preseason, or maybe week 1, 2, or 3, or a team that's fighting for a playoff spot has a season-ending injury at quarterback and they need somebody because that's the only missing piece, then Teddy Bridgewater all of a sudden becomes a very valuable commodity. So maybe you get a 4th-round pick back for him, or a 5th-round pick, or a 3rd-round pick, depending on how good he does look in the preseason. But that's the best-case scenario. Now, there's still a scenario here where Teddy Bridgewater plays. It was 1 game for Sam Darnold. Now, if Sam Darnold levels off or even regresses his next couple of starts, which as a 21-year-old quarterback is well within the realm of possibility, if that happens, then Teddy Bridgewater could be your starting quarterback week 1. So it's not time to trade Teddy Bridgewater just yet. I'm just saying the best case scenario, they all play well. Darnold's your starter week 1 in Detroit, McCown is your backup, and you get something on the trade market at some point for Teddy Bridgewater. And let him go play. He deserves to go play and have a career as well.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's get to some callers. It's Mark in Stamford has been waiting. What's up, Mark?
Hey, I need to look back. Really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I'm a 62-year-old lifelong Jet fan.
God bless you.
On this rainy Saturday, there's a lot of brightness for us Jet fans.
I'm really excited. There should be. What did you think about not only your rookie quarterback, but Teddy Bridgewater, and a guy who hasn't played for 2 years, and he steps out there and performed even before Darnold got out there?
Well, I got to tell you, Bridgewater looked great. And all this talk about trading him, I don't know if that's the right thing to do. I don't know. I mean,
Well, you don't need to do it right now, Mark, and thanks for the call. You don't need to trade him now. You have plenty of time to figure it out, and teams aren't going to want to trade for Bridgewater yet either, because you need to see more than what you saw last night. He was out there for, I think, 2 series. He looked very good, completed 7 of 8 passes, led them on a touchdown drive, the first one of the game. But you need to see more from a guy who hasn't really played in 2 years. Very good first step. Very good first step as well for Sam Darnold. For those two quarterbacks, that's really what you wanted to see for their first time out. Jose calling in Patterson. What's up, Jose?
Hey, what's going on, Pat?
How you doing?
I was at the game last night. I've been a Jets fan for my entire life. I'll be 40 next week on the 14th, ironically the same number as our Golden Boy.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, and I was at the game, and, I got a feeling that I never had before. I've seen Testaverde when I was a teenager give me some hope. I've seen Chad Pennington go to the playoffs, give us some hope. And I even had so much hope in Sanchez, like, oh, man, this might be the kid right here. And he gave me hope. But I never had a feeling of, wow, there's 3 guys on the roster right now that actually can give us hope. 2 really for sure guys that it's like, wow, and this kid is the – it's just – it's crazy for a Jets fan. If you're a diehard Jets fan all your life, you're like, wow, we really have our guy.
You hope. You hope you have your guy. What I will say is nothing you saw last night told you you didn't have your guy.
Exactly.
Which is all you can want in week one of a preseason. Let's be honest. There's a long way to go for Darnold. There's a long way to go for Bridgewater. But if you were at that game last night, Jose, and you were walking out of that stadium, you had to feel great about your quarterback situation. And when was the last time you could say that?
My head was high. My head was high, brother.
It should be. Well, hopefully it continues for you and the rest of the Jets fans, Jose. It's a good start there. That's the thing. Right now you have options. You have options in that quarterback room if they continue to play like this. That's why Connor Rogers and I were kind of laughing. Like, the Jets with options at quarterback? The Jets with a quarterback controversy between 2 good quarterbacks? Can you even imagine the scenario? But it's very close. Still a long way to go. I know I keep saying that, but it needs to be said. But nothing we saw last night would indicate that there's not reason for hope right now. Let's go back to the phones. Adam calling from Harlem. What's up, Adam?
What's up, Pat? How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Couple things. I'm with you. I hope we don't move Teddy so fast. I think the stock could only rise, to be honest, even if all of his stuff is in the preseason, injuries happen. The Patriots got a former number one pick last year for Jacoby Brissett, so it doesn't even have to be a pick. It could be a former high pick from another team that we can pluck, hopefully. The other thing is, before Giants fans keep calling in to throw shade on our optimism, let's see if they're willing to pump the brakes on Saquon Barkley the same way they want us to pump the brakes on Sam. So that's all I got, but high reason to be optimistic on what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, it was a good night last night. The Jets and their quarterbacks and their fans and their head coach, everybody had a good night last night, and it was certainly good to see. Let's go to Brian in Morristown. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Pat. Thanks for taking my call. Really excited about the game last night. Earlier you were talking about Bridgewater's trade value around like a 4th-round pick. 2 years ago when Bridgewater got hurt, Sam Bradford was traded to the Vikings for a 1st and a 4th-round pick in the start of September.
Yes, he was.
Do you think with the right injury, well, not the right injury to another team, but like in the right scenario?
No, I hear what you're saying. Maybe. Well, here's the thing. The Vikings were desperate that year because they had everything in place to make a run at a Super Bowl, so they thought. And then their quarterback goes down, and the one piece that was missing was the quarterback. So, yes, a situation could present itself where you could get more from Bridgewater than a 4th-round pick. You could find a team, and I can't think of a team off the top of my head. I'd have to go through the list. A team that has everything but a quarterback because of an injury or ineffective player, whatever reason, and Bridgewater could be seen as the missing piece. But we're a ways away from that for a couple of reasons. Teams are going to need to see a lot more from Bridgewater than they saw last night, and that situation has to present itself.
Totally. Awesome. Thanks, Pat. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Brian. Yeah, that could happen. And that was a very high price. I remember everybody was scoffing at the Eagles before that happened because they had Sam Bradford on their team. They made the huge trade to get Carson Wentz, and then they signed Chase Daniel, a backup quarterback, to a huge free agent contract as a backup quarterback. And they had two guys, that were expecting to start in Carson Wentz and Sam Bradford. And then you had a third guy in Chase Daniel, who I think was making about $6 million a year. And people thought the Eagles were crazy. What are they doing? Well, then they were able to turn around and flip Sam Bradford into a first and either a third or a fourth round pick. It was an incredible trade because the Vikings were desperate. The Vikings had everything that year. And I think that was the year they started off 5-0. And then the roof fell in on them. I don't even know if they made the playoffs that season. But the thought at the beginning of the season was the Vikings, the only thing they needed was to shore up that quarterback position, and they could make a run at a Super Bowl. 1-800-919-3776. Chris is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Chris?
How are you doing, Pat?
Good, thanks.
As far as my quarterback room, the whole room, I'm happy with it. I'm about to cry like Theo. Seriously. And really, the only thing I need to see from the youngest member, I just need to see you take steps, because he's only been playing quarterback for 3 years. So for me to get excited, yeah, I'm excited at the prospect of what he's going to be. Teddy Bridgewater, all he needs to show me is his durability. I know what Josh McCown is. I want to reference a previous caller, you know, who wanted to throw some cold water on Sam Darnold's performance. And I'm just going to say two words about that. Davis Webb. Moving forward with the Jets, what I'd really like to see, we need to shore up that left tackle. And I'd really like to see the offensive line come together. I'm starting to wonder what Sam Darnold is going to be looking like throwing to Robbie Anderson, Quincy Enunwa when he gets healthy, Jermaine Kearse, Chris Herndon when he gets healthy. We have reason to be very, very excited. And on the other side of the ball, the one thing that I might disagree with you about is Big Cat Williams. This dude gets doubled almost every play. Once we get that edge rusher, I promise you, you're going to see a different 92. I hope you have a great day, and let's go, Jets.
All right, Chris. Thanks a lot. Chris in Manhattan weighing in on both sides of the football. The defense looks good. I think right now the Jets' defense is – there's nothing wrong with it, really. I mean, nobody's got the perfect defense, but the Jets' defense is going to be the strength of this team. The next step for Sam Darnold, you want to see him get some reps in practice and then eventually in a preseason game with the starters. And you want to see him start to develop that chemistry with Robbie Anderson, with Quincy Enunwa when he comes back, with his primary receivers. That's the next step in this development. And everything you've seen from Todd Bowles and the coaching staff, they're going to give this guy that opportunity. And I wouldn't be surprised if it comes as early as their next preseason game.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's focus some of our attention on, well, the other team in town. Of course, the New York Football Giants opening their preseason on Thursday night with not the most impressive loss to the Cleveland Browns. Jordan Renan, ESPN reporter who covers the Giants throughout the season, is our guest to talk a little about that. Jordan, good morning. How are you doing today?
What's going on? How's everything going this morning?
Everything's going well, thanks. So let's talk some Giants. Let's pivot a little bit from the Jets and
the other team in New York.
The other team, right? Not often we can say that, is it?
I know that is. When you said that before, like, man, you don't hear that very often.
That happened fast, right? One good performance from the number 3 overall pick, and the Giants are now the other team.
Right.
It's been that kind of morning.
They did have a better record last year, right? I guess.
Well, that's true too. Yeah, if you put it that way, you can find anything you want in statistics. But
right.
Let's get what were your initial thoughts overall on what you saw from the Giants Thursday night? Concerns, things you liked, anything along those lines?
Well, you liked what you saw from Saquon Barkley, the fact that he broke that big play ability, adding to that offense a little running game, at least keep the opposition honest. I think that should get you excited. The offensive line, there was decent signs there. I think you still can be optimistic that offensive line for the Giants is going to be better. by default really should be better. I mean, they started Eric Flowers and Bobby Hart as their starting tackles last year, so they signed Nate Solder and added him to the mix. It's going to make them a better unit. So I think you like that. The Davis Webb part definitely should have definitely worries. I mean, you couldn't have watched that game and walked away feeling good about the Giants' future at quarterback behind Eli Manning or even the backup quarterback situation this year. I mean, Davis Webb, he threw everything high. He was off target on a lot of throws. And even if it was uncharacteristic, I mean, you don't see that every day from him at practice. The fact that it did show itself in the game makes you want to see more. And I think that's going to be a big thing going forward here is what do the Giants have for their future at quarterback? I mean, this preseason was his opportunity to see Davis Webb and to see Kyle Auletta. So it's obviously not what Davis Webb wanted to put on tape and on film, and we'll see how it comes and bounces back from that. But right now you can't feel great about that situation. And then the defense. You see the Giants' defense, you know, there's some ups and downs. You're still trying to figure out what that unit is, but the back end, the secondary, is a concern. And they were thrown all over the place, and you're worried about their cornerbacks. And is Eli Apple, you know, can you trust him enough to be a consistent starter? And then beyond that, do they really have anything back there that can hold up over a 16-game stretch? So pretty much a lot of what you expect. I think the biggest surprise was probably Davis Webb. But aside from that, I mean, you knew they had problems on the back end of that secondary. You knew that the offensive line was still a work in progress. That's kind of where I stand. But the Saquon Barkley thing is a number one because, right, they picked him number two overall. And he better be good as a number two overall pick as a running back. And he flashed right away that, hey, looks like he's going, you know, he could definitely bring something to the table and to this offense to make it a better unit.
Jordan Renan, ESPN's Giants reporter, joining us here on the Dave Rothenberg Show. Pat O'Keefe in for Dave this morning. Let me talk to you about that secondary, because there's big names there. They're high draft picks. They're high priced. So if they're not going to get the job done, if these guys aren't going to get the job done, where do you go from there if you're the Giants? Because you're already paying a lot of money there.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going anywhere with the secondary. They're going to have to ride these guys. I mean, that's why Eli Apple's still here, right? He had a rough season last year. But the fact is, they can only do so many things this offseason, right? And they just couldn't add significant depth to that secondary. I mean, they don't have guys sitting on the bench that are, you know, that have played consistently in the NFL. They don't have another option to push Eli Apple as a starter. They don't have another realistic option. I mean, there's a bunch of guys there that have floated around, rosters in the NFL. So, look, they're banking on Landon Collins to be a good player. We know he's a good player as long as he's healthy. Janoris Jenkins, he's a good player. But besides them, the free safety spot, completely wide open right now. Darian Thompson and Curtis Riley had a hamstring injury, and now Darian Thompson has a hamstring injury. It's just a strain. It's not supposed to be a major thing. But those are some of the guys battling for that free safety spot. It's wide open. So I think they have a lot of unknowns on that end, and they got to try and figure it out by the end of the summer. And look, they're throwing a lot of, you know, things into the pot, and they're trying to see what comes out there, and we'll see if it's enough to hold up.
Now, the offensive line, Jordan, again, one preseason game. Saw a lot of what we saw last year, though. Not a lot of time for Eli. Obviously, his mobility, not that it was ever great, but it's almost non-existent now. Do you think it's just a matter of time? Let me ask you this. What is your confidence level that with three more weeks of preseason, this unit is going to be able to gel and put forth a representative effort on the field?
With a representative effort on the field, right? I mean,
yeah, right? Keep Eli standing up.
Is this going to be a good unit? I don't think that's realistic that they're going to be one of the, you know, an above average unit starting in week one. I mean, look, you have to remember, first of all, look who's on there. There's where are they above average, right? You could say Nate Solder's above average, right? He's at his position. You're hoping that Will Hernandez is, right? And then the other three guys, I mean, you're looking at guys who are either average or below average at their position. I mean, Patrick Omame is a guy who's on his fourth team in 5 years. He's a
NFL player, and he's a starting caliber player. Maybe he's probably an average starting caliber player, right? And then you have John Jalapio, who's new at center, and Eric Flowers, who's moving over to right tackle, and we saw he was very good at left tackle. They paid $60 million to make sure he didn't play left tackle, actually. So to put that unit together, it's the one spot more than any, right, that you need continuity, that it takes time for them to come together. So to hope that by week one that this is a good unit, I don't know if that's realistic. I think you're hoping just to have an average unit maybe, you know, and that maybe that they grow into something better as they go along. But it's going to take time, and it's going to be baby steps along the way, especially with that group. And I think early in the year it might be a little bit of a struggle for them. So you're just hoping that they could hold up and be okay early in the season, and then as the season progresses, that unit becomes better.
Jordan, how about Odell Beckham Jr.? Do you think we'll see him in our preseason game this week? And, you know, there was a lot of talk about, it seemed like everybody was kind of on board that the contract extension was going to get done, and then that kind of died down a little bit. Do you think the Giants just need to see him play in game action before they can commit? Where are we with those things?
Yeah, well, I think people were just, you know, they just started negotiations, right? To think that it's going to be a 1-2-3 thing is just silly. I mean, look at Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald over there. I mean, these things don't just happen overnight. And these guys started, they've had talks for, you know, I don't know, a year or so. And they haven't been able to reach their number. So the idea that, okay, they started negotiations and it was going to be done 1-2-3, I think was also unrealistic.
Oh, so no red flags in your mind that they haven't gotten anything done yet?
No.
Okay.
I mean, they're less than 2 weeks into negotiations. I think that this is a process here. I think if something is not done by the beginning of the season, to me, that's when I, you know, like if you were like a week before the season, now I'm starting to look at it like, all right, so, you know, the pressure's on. Now we're starting to look at, okay, when are they going to get this done? Because if they don't get it done by the beginning of the season, that's when, you know, it can get tricky because Odell, he's going to go out there and he's risking a lot, right? Let's say they're even close to a deal. He has $60 million sitting in front of his eyes, right? They're getting close to done, but it's not done by week one. Is he really going to risk? He gets paid $8.5 million this year. You're really going to risk that $8.5 for that $60 if it's right there and you're that close? So I think the pressure, the crunch will be on when that season gets close. And no, I'm not sure. I doubt we would see him in the preseason this week. I'm not even sure we're going to see him in the preseason at all this year. Maybe that third game you might see him a little bit. But even then, I'm not positive about that. And if you think about it, you're a Giants fan, you're the Giants, do you really need to see him on the field?
No, I don't want to see him out in the preseason.
Right, I mean, look, this is a guy, let's just think what he did his as a rookie, right? As a rookie, he's learning a new system. He misses almost all of training camp, right? He doesn't play in the preseason. He misses the first four games of the regular season. He had 91 catches for 1,305 yards and 12 touchdowns in 12 games.
Yeah, that first game was electric.
Who needs this guy to play in a preseason game? I'm sorry. There's no reason, especially if that deal is not done. Both parties are going to probably be in agreement that it's best for everybody for him not to play. I mean, as Pat Shurmur said the other night, he never intended to play him in that preseason game. And I think it's going to be pretty much the same for all the way through here. Maybe that third game they want him to get out of there, maybe like a series, you know, he'll run two or three routes, catch a one-yard pass, step out of bounds, and go back to the sideline and put himself in bubble wrap or some cryotherapy.
Keep
him
in the bubble wrap.
Nowadays.
Don't
yeah.
even take him out. I agree. I agree with you, Jordan.
I agree. I mean, it's just unnecessary, I think. I mean, what, for like one series or two series, is it really worth risking him risking it and you risking? They averaged 13.6 points per game without him last year. I mean, just think about that. 13.6. I mean, that's just brutal. With him, he basically played three full games, counting the game where he broke his ankle because that was the fourth quarter. They scored, I think it was 24 or 25 points a game in those games. So, I mean, 25 points with him and 13.6 without.
I know.
I mean, that's how good and how much he means to this team. He's that good, and he looks great this summer.
Well, that's my question.
He really does.
Let me ask you this. Is there any thought to that the Giants – Is there any concern on the Giants' part that he hasn't recovered and they would need to see the ankle in a game situation? Is that part of this equation at all?
No.
Okay.
I really don't. I mean, to think about it, this is the one thing about the ankle, right? It was a broken bone. It wasn't a ligament or like an Achilles. So broken bones heal. They come back. He's running in practice. He's playing in practice. He's doing live drills in practice. I don't think there's any concern with the Giants. This isn't like a thing where, okay, let's let him, we need him to take a hit, right? Like, oh, no, somebody come hit this guy's ankle over here, okay? I mean, does anybody want that? I think the Giants are hoping that ankle doesn't get hit ever. They don't need that ankle to be tested with a hit. So I don't think there's anything else for them to see. I mean, he's already participating almost fully in training camp. I mean, he participates in at least 80% of the drills.
And he looks great. From the video I've seen,
He looks great. You could tell he's the best player on the field by a wide margin.
Yeah.
Just stays out there in practice, I'm telling you. You see the way he runs and catches the ball, you're like, oh, that's the best player on the field right there. It's really that obvious. And when you just sit there at practice and you watch these guys, like, he's at a different level than most of them.
Jordan, thanks a lot for the time. It'll be interesting following as we continue in training camp.
You got it. Anytime. Have a good show.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.